Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your weekly show that comes to you every Saturday from 11 to 12. We have on our program today Carlos Penny from Richardson Springs, another YWAMer, another youth and mission person, and he's one of the head leaders up there, and we're going to have him share with the same. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Carlos Penning, as Curtis shared, and I'm serving with Youth of the Mission in Chico. And I've been in missions for about 18, 19 years now. And it's been a real honor to be a part of just seeing God's love, God's kingdom come to this planet where it desperately needs it, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I'd like to share a little bit of my story personally.
Sure, yeah.
Where this journey started. Mm-hmm. My story started in Chile. I'm originally from South America. At the age of two, my life shifted dramatically to a direction, a very dark place. My mother was murdered by my dad. He was put in prison. Myself and my brother and my sisters were just kind of moved around throughout the nation until eventually, around the age of 10, we left and moved to the streets. And at the age of 11 and a half, there was a family from the United States, from Minnesota, a powerful family, that made the decision to adopt us, but they took us together, you know.
And now, what a blessing.
I'm skipping a lot of things, but
sure.
There was a couple of pieces I feel like would be key.
Go ahead.
This family, they felt God moved in their hearts to step out and make this make this decision, which was a very vulnerable decision. One thing, they didn't have the money. They were farmers in Minnesota. The church that they were a part of just was powerfully involved. They paid for the adoption. They didn't have the money for the plane tickets. Somebody else covered the tickets so they could go to Chile and pick us up. They had the willingness to say, God, if you would use us, we want to be part of redeeming lives, redeeming nations, you know. And I want to share this with you from a missionary heart, because I believe when we think of missions, we think of God the missionary coming as a man to redeem this brokenness that we face every day, right? Mm-hmm. Lives that are willing to say, I want to respond to your love. Mm-hmm. You know, so here in a way, this man and woman, already they had three kids, right? Two little girls and an 11-year-old son. They adopt these two crazy guys, right? An 11 and a 13-year-old, you know, 12, 14. Mm. Huge risks, right? They're coming from deep brokenness. They're coming from having experienced the streets. And they're bringing them, not just on an outreach, but they're bringing them to their home, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. Like, these kids are going to be in our house. They're going to influence our children. Now, they ended up having another son after they adopted us. So it wasn't a question of we need more kids or we can't have kids. It was a question of obedience. They said, God, here we are. Send us. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Now, they didn't have the skills. This is a farming family. They weren't trained to deal with, you know, how do we redeem lives that have been in abuse, that have been. They just had the willingness, you guys. And through the years.
Willing and obedience.
Willingness and the obedience to say, God, would you use us? Mm-hmm. And now my brother and I were taken, and it was a crazy time, you know. We didn't speak the language. They didn't speak any Spanish. We didn't speak English. There was a lot of brokenness that came. But, you know, they kept on loving us. They kept on loving us. There was a counselor, I remember, would come like once a month and just try to clean up the mess with translation. He was a translator. And I look back now and I see God. Just the handprints of God. How do you redeem lives? But also, the heart of God for how do we redeem nations? And we think of, we look at North Korea and we look at Cuba and we look at places. God, how do we see Mexico come into its destiny, right? How do we see Pakistan and you see this couple taking this risk, right? Because guys, let me tell you, there's a risk involved.
Sure.
Yeah, there's vulnerability. There's a messiness that is involved. And when you put yourself into a position of there's no guarantee that these boys will love us back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It is not guaranteed. It is not an equation that if we do these things, these kids will respond. You know what I mean? You think of God's heart. I mean, this morning I was just telling my boys, I said, guys, Jesus did all of this. He did everything that needed to happen. And yet, as we speak, there are people going into eternity without God. You see that? In other
That's
words,
right.
there wasn't a guarantee that every human would respond to a passionate love, right? But the risk was worth it, you guys. You know, I think of this couple; they considered the reality, and yet they said, "God, the risk is worth it." And they brought these boys, and they loved them through it. And I mean, I think of my brother; he didn't respond until the last year being in that home. You know what I mean? 18 years old. And we responded in different ways at different times, but we went on with our lives, and took the story of God reaching us, loving us. Now through the journey, I started asking questions of like of God personally, you know, like who are you, and how can they say you're a loving father, you know?
Yeah. Really, after all you've experienced,
questions of a of. How can you be like that and say that you are good, right? These were questions about God's character. These were questions that were saying, I can't just believe blindly. But there was a sense in my heart, you guys, that God was so open. He was not threatened by me, by my insecurity and my brokenness and my questions. Like, this was a papa saying, I'm so glad that you're willing to go there with me, to ask me, you know, why did... If you were there in the room, how could you allow my father to do that? You know, if you could have gotten involved, you know, we were talking about this. If you could have stopped it, you know, why did you wait so long? Why so many years? And it began a journey in my life, you guys, of going deeper with God and going deeper with God's heart. Because, see, the songs that I was being taught and the message was, God is good. This is a wonderful father. This is not just a father, but he's saying, you can have a relationship with me that's Abba, that's Daddy, Papa, you know? And that's why I when I speak to Father now, I call him Papa.
Yeah.
You know? because there was a, but let me tell you, there were many, many years where God was willing to speak to my heart. And it wasn't an answer in the night or, you know, it was just layers of realizing that God never intended this brokenness and this darkness. He never planned that for me. He never desired it. But if I would respond to his love, he was willing to bring beauty out of the ashes. You know, we see that in Scripture. A God that's like longing to, just let me get involved. Let me step in and bring healing to your heart and restoration to all the levels that is possible, right?
One of the things, Carlos, if you don't mind me stopping you for a second. One of the things that you and I talked about on the way here was God allowing things to happen. And you brought to my attention, doesn't necessarily allow things to happen. He's God, and he gives us free will. And he stands there. He still has his peace and his love and stuff, but he's not, we say he allowed this or he allowed that. And you were saying he's not always allowing stuff. And so I think, because of love, I understand what you're saying, that he doesn't allow things like we think, well, he allowed that to happen, and maybe it was something bad, maybe it was something negative, maybe it was something wicked. He's not necessarily allowing it to happen, but he is also showing up after it happens and touching those that need to be touched. But he's not stopping those that, because they're not going to, he's allowing them to do what they're going to do. But at the same time, you and I were talking about it. Maybe you can hit on a little bit of what we're talking about.
You know, those are some powerful questions that require a lot of digging and understanding, right? But I think we can probably all agree with the beauty of what we see in the Scriptures, of a God that is passionately fighting for us, that didn't just show up after, but he was there. And because of his non-controlling nature, which means that he's not controlling people. I think of myself as a father, you know. If I ever think that I can control my boys, you know, I'm going to have a rude awakening, you know. Especially now, I have three sons. They're 8, 10, and 12. And I'm realizing aspects of God's father heart as I'm trying to influence my sons to fall in love with God or to walk in a right way. And the more and more I walk with them, I realize there's no way I could control my sons. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. I think everyone listening would agree with that. Yeah, you know what? We as parents have tried, right?
Yeah.
and we have failed miserably. But you see the footprints of God throughout Scripture. And even in our own lives, we say, how has God led me? Have I ever felt controlled and pushed and forced? Or has God wooed my heart to respond? You see the Scriptures, a God that was calling out to Adam and Eve and say, will you walk with me? You know, you don't have to go that way. And even when they went that way, God pursued them. You know,
yeah,
he didn't leave them in their mess. He showed up and he said, where are you? Now, knowing where they were, he was saying, I want you. And I'm willing to step in, even though this has brought great brokenness to our relationship. Mm-hmm. And not only to our relationship, but to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
God's heart was, I will come to you. You think of the first murder on the planet. And you look at the footprints of God being very close to Cain and saying, sin is knocking at your door. You know, it is crouching. You don't have to respond to it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to open it. You see the passion of God. Now, we ask the question, what's God allowing it? What is God allowing? What is God? You know what? The reality is that God has put life and death before us. And he was very clearly, he spoke that so clearly, that if you choose this, it will bring great blessing and life to you and to those around you and to your nation. But if you choose this, if you choose death, it will bring brokenness to your relationships, to your community, to your cities, to your country. And so we see God, he did not just put that before us and leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Scriptures show us a God that I will walk with, I will be in the midst of my people, in their camp I will walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the Emmanuel, God with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit moving upon the earth as before this whole journey started, the three of them, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, being totally involved, totally longing to bring life out of death, totally willing to bring beauty out of ashes.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, for me, that has been a personal journey. And I've seen the layers of God healing, but also saying, Carlos, it's not just your story. It's also the reality of God longing to bring this to every individual in the planet, every nation on earth, every people that's willing to respond to his love. And yet, you see in Isaiah chapter 6 where God is saying, who will go for us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who will stand with us?
Mm-hmm.
Who will stand in the gap? Jesus sending out his disciples. You know, Jesus could have started a mega church and had huge stadiums full.
Mm-hmm.
You know
right?
what I mean? We yeah. probably
have the biggest church ever.
He could have had, you know, with the kind of power.
Instead of Mecca, in Mecca. Mecca.
He would have had a mecha church. Can you imagine like the valley's full of people and he's just, but you know what? He invested his heart into these few, knowing that if they carry my heart, my heart to redeem and restore and bring life, they will multiply this all over the earth.
Mm.
You see that?
True.
And now they might have even felt like, well, why, you know, why doesn't he start a church or why doesn't he, you know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to be in charge when you leave, you know? But he was doing something very different. He was pouring his heart into their heart because it didn't matter what they were going to do or where they were going to be. Wherever they went, they were going to bring life.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to bring God's heart. They were going to bring the redeeming touch of God, the creative power of God. They were going to walk into broken situations and broken people like my brother and I, and they were going to bring life where the enemy was trying to destroy and abort and derail the destiny of God for a family in Chile, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to tell you that story because I feel like, one, I wanted to give glory to this amazing Father and God that is is redeeming and restoring, and it is possible. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like as we talk about youth with a mission, and we talk about the missionary heart of God, and how we as sons and daughters are saying, God, can we take the family business? You know, mm-hmm. you think mm-hmm. of a Jesus at 12 years old, right? Mom and dad are freaking out. He's been gone for 3 days. They finally find him. And Mary, Luke chapter 2, I think, it's like, why have you done this to us? And Jesus is like, in a loving and respectful, I imagine, but really just speaks into, how can I not be doing my Father's business?
We're going to stop and take a break real quick.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Christ Today on 930 AM, 104.5 FM on KKXX Radio. This is Tori Tipp with your host, Curtis Smith, and our special guest today, Carlos Penne, telling us about his story and how the Lord has restored him, mm-hmm. redeemed him, and done a marvelous work in your life. Carlos, thank mm-hmm. you for being here today.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tori. So, Carlos, last week when you and I were talking before we were going to do the radio show, you also brought up a key point that you were wanting to be on a police officer because you wanted to stop the corruption and you wanted to make people free and you wanted to bring, and you said through that God led you a different direction, which was ministry. You want to go into that a little bit and share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my brother last night. One of my brothers, he went into law enforcement and is still, actually, he will become a sergeant here next month. And I was thinking about my journey after I got out of high school and pursuing law enforcement. Through that, I began to see something in my heart. There was a desire in me that, you know, we cannot be okay with this injustice. You know, I began to understand that the brokenness that we're seeing in our cities, in our situations, women being abused, children being raped by their fathers. Today, we're in a much darker time where we're seeing, because of the reality, things are coming to the light. Kids are being trafficked and used for sexual pleasure. You can go to nations where for $1.80 you can have sex with a six-year-old and that has been kidnapped probably from some village in Guatemala and is being used nine times a day for the pleasure of tourism. You guys, when we think of brokenness and injustice, it's incredible.
That's
sick. And you think of, God, where is your heart in the midst of this? Because, see, we understand that you are a good father. And we understand that you are good, but we're also asking, how do you walk in the midst of this brokenness? Because, see, go ahead.
Carlos, I'm like getting this more and more
yes.
in what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's not that we should be asking God, where are you?
Yes.
How can you allow this to happen? He's saying to my heart,
yes.
How can you let that happen, Tori? Because
right.
I'll be like driving along. Oh, Lord, help them with their car. Bless them,
that's
you know,
right.
bless
that's
them,
right.
Lord. And he's telling me in my spirit, I sent you.
That's
I
right.
sent you.
That's right.
Yeah. That means, so yes. where is God? It's like, where is humanity? Where
yes.
are we in
yes.
this situation to allow
okay.
that to go on, to turn a blind eye as a church
yes.
and as an individual
yes.
and allow that injustice to go on
that's
throughout
right.
the world?
And I think, Tori, it's understanding both, because I think many people have misrepresented and misjudged the heart of God.
That's true.
The reality is, and I was in that place for a season where I judged God's heart, and this is the beauty of God, that he's not offended by us. You know, this is like a 2-year-old with a temper tantrum.
Right.
And the parent just understands that, no, you don't really hate me. You just don't want to go to bed right now. You know?
Yeah.
So God is okay with this. But the beauty of this is that we go deep in understanding his heart. And the more we understand his heart, the greater representation of his heart we will have, and passion to go the long way. You see? Because, see, some people start wanting to do good things. Mm-hmm. But they end, you know what? It lasts a few years, and then mm-hmm. they kind of fade off and go back to what they call, this is real life. This is more important now. But see, when you begin to understand the depth and the reality of how God is walking, then you will have a fire that will never end, that will take you into past just your life, but your investment into your children, and your children will invest in their children. And this thing, we will never stop in the passion that you're talking about. And I felt like as I wrestled with God, I began to understand the dynamics of how this thing works. Because, see, many people have misrepresented God and judged him. How can you be good and you allow this thing to take place? I mean, if you were there in the room, and where is your muscle, God, to stop a rape or to stop a sale of a 6-year-old that's taken from a village?
Yeah.
You guys, in other words, you began to see that the way God is moving on the earth, it's not by controlling or allowing, but he's reaching the hearts of men. Because if we're going to see a real change, and this brings it back to the law enforcement is a part of that. In Isaiah chapter 1, it talks about that you learn to do justice and seek mercy. And it says incarcerate the oppressor, I think, in verse 17 or 18. It says you take care of the widow. You take care of the orphan. It's saying, come, let us reason together. It says. It's a powerful verse, you guys. God is saying, come, let's talk about this. Like, you take ownership of what's happening. You know, I think it's very much what you just said. But in that journey, people have looked at God and said, well, but you caused this. You allowed this. You did this. And they have blamed God for things that we realize through Scripture. We say, God had never desired that. When you see the intentions of God, God never... See, the external government will never change the heart. You see that? In other words, if you incarcerate a rapist, that doesn't mean that changed. You see? If I physically stop a man from doing that today, it doesn't mean that he might not try tomorrow. If I physically stop a woman from carrying out that depth of selfishness upon that individual or that, it doesn't mean that it will change. It will only hold it back, right? So
right.
So we see the way God is... The kingdom of God is flowing from internal to external.
Yeah.
See, the Pharisees didn't understand that. They kept thinking, you know what, we just change the externals. We look right, we dress right, we cut our hair right, or don't cut your beard, you know, however.
Right.
Carry the Bible in the right, do whatever the right things say, memorize. And Jesus came and said, but inside you are like whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
In other words, the Father's heart, the Father's pleasure, Jesus coming in, saying, let me become Lord of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, the Caesar was Lord, and everyone said, Caesar is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus comes on and says, no, I'm Lord.
Yeah.
Let me become Lord of your heart. And I began to see that, but pursuing a career and just externally changing things mm-hmm. was not going to change the nations. But from the internal and out, would begin to automatically shift the hearts of men and women. And they would begin to look at their daughters differently and their wives differently and their neighbor. You guys hear my heart? I began to realize that the heart of God could and has the ability to physically control everything and everyone. Mm-hmm. But think about it. Would it really change the nations? Physical control, external control, will not change the heart of an individual that has planned and has purpose to carry out their selfishness in whatever degree that they are in. But see, the Holy Spirit appealing to the heart, I think of Corinthians where God said, now it's as if God was appealing to men through you. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
He gave us this ministry. He called it reconciliation. We're being called back, right? And so it was as if God is appealing. See, appealing is not controlling. You see, appealing gives the sense that there's a vulnerability that they might not respond. Mm-hmm. And we know, we have family, we know friends that have stood in the gap and said, I will not respond to that. I will not believe in that God. I will not, you see that? And see, some people might even blame God and say, well, the reason they are not is because God is not allowing it. As if God was controlling this individual from falling in love with God. So the scriptures give such a powerful picture of the missionary heart of God. Of God appealing to the heart of man through us, but not only to take care of the fruits of selfishness, not only to destroy the injustice, incarcerate the oppressor, but also to go to every level in every individual. See, those men that stand online to choose a little girl that they will pay $1.80 for so they can have sex with her in a little room in Southeast Asia, mm-hmm. those men are also God's little boys. You see that? See,
yes.
Let me tell you something. That was extremely difficult for me to embrace. Because see, if I would have been a cop and I would have gone to that situation and I would have carried a gun, it would be very difficult for me not to stop that. You see
right.
that? Because of the injustice. See, if that six-year-old was my little girl, I would do whatever it takes to stop it.
Right.
See, but God's heart is way beyond us as well. He's not just looking at that little girl. He's looking at every single boy and every pimp. Many of those pimps are 14, 15-year-olds carrying AK-47s, you know? Mm. God is looking and knows the journey of each one and why that man started on that journey through pornography in a room with a laptop, and how that grew and grew and it became a monster. Because see, selfishness will become a monster. And now God is seeing that, and he's saying, we can't just kill that person to stop this brokenness.
That's true.
We have to reach the heart of every person. And see, that's hard for me, you guys. I'll be honest.
Right.
I'm not a cop. I'm a missionary.
Right.
But I still am in places of darkness where I say, God,
right.
I need you to teach me how to love people like that.
Yeah.
And yet you feel the heartbeat of God saying, Carlos, I know their journey. I was part. I knitted them in their mother's womb. Mm-hmm. I called them out. That man was meant to be my son. To walk with, and let's not just say men. It's men and women,
right.
young and old. Right.
Right?
Yeah. But I knitted him in his mother's womb, longing for him to be walk with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know, choose today whom you will serve. As we see the reality of choice and the brokenness or the blessing and power that it could bring.
Yeah.
Things have developed to such a degree where there's still hope.
Mm-hmm.
And now God is saying, who will go for us?
Yeah.
The best and the most powerful businessman on earth is Jesus. He came and invested in us. He put his investment.
Mm-hmm. Gave his all.
He gave his all. He said, this is worth it.
Held nothing back.
He held nothing back. He invested in us, and he knew, will we find faith on the earth? Mm-hmm. There is a longing in God's heart now that sons and daughters will rise up. I think of Romans chapter 8 where he says, you know, this planet is in a longing expectation for sons and daughters to rise up.
Now's the time.
A son and daughter takes ownership.
Mm-hmm.
See, a son and daughter doesn't have just a servant mindset. A servant will only do what is told.
Mm-hmm.
A servant will only know, well, when God tells me to do that, I will do that.
Yeah.
See, right now I have a 12-year-old and I see him taking ownership of our household. He's starting to do things that he was never told to do. He's beginning to carry our heart and he's choosing to help mom and do these. And now our relationship has moved beyond obedience. See, obedience was one level.
Yeah.
But now because he carries the heart, now he doesn't have to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, when men and women become sons and daughters of God, they will see an injustice.
Mm.
And they will say, how could I not respond?
That's right.
And they will, because they are owners of the business of the Father to redeem this planet, they will do everything and anything with their giftings and their heart to get involved and see the thing. Like you were sharing with me, what your passion is, what as well as you. That we were no longer just John 15:15, where Jesus said to his disciples, we cannot stay in a servant relationship.
Yeah.
See, I call you friends because, see, a friend knows the heart of his friend.
Yeah.
And he says, I've shared everything with you. Yeah. I've shown you the Father. You see that? It's a whole different relationship. See, a missionary has to step into their identity. And I believe that will have huge consequences on this earth if we don't. You know?
Want to go to a break and we'll be right back.
Let's do that.
All right, you're listening to Christ Today.
Reeve Woods Eye Center provides quality care with two convenient locations, West East Avenue in Chico and Pence Road in Paradise. A premium ophthalmology practice specializing in cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic eye care, and a full-service optical department to fulfill all your eye care needs. Their family of intraocular lenses offer and meet a variety of visual needs for cataract patients. Reeve Woods Eye Center, providing outstanding quality care to the North Valley for over 30 years. Most insurances accepted and always accepting new patients in both locations. Reeve Woods Eye Center. For appointments or information, call their Chico office at 899-2244 or 877-6583 in Paradise. The goal at Reeve Woods Eye Center is great vision for your life.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today on KKXX Radio, 930 AM, 104.5 FM. You're listening to a powerful testimony today with Carlos Penny and our host and founder of Christ Today, Curtis Smith. Carlos, we've covered a lot of ground in just the last half hour here of the Lord and His saving grace. Taking you from the streets of Chile to a farm home in Minnesota, and you spoke about those the family that took you in and how they were becoming vulnerable and opening themselves up to bringing the two of you, right, your two brothers, you and your brother, into their home at ages 12. Okay. So, in the process, you know, teenagers basically they're bringing into their home, open up that vulnerability. And I thought, yes, they were making themselves vulnerable, but you were vulnerable of being, you know, going through whatever you had went through with throughout your life, being on the streets and then being taken from your country and being brought to a new home. You didn't know what to expect either. You guys were vulnerable as well. Yeah. And I'm sure that you were probably, you know, in pain and closed up and afraid to open up, because what if you accepted them? What if you opened up your hearts and loved them, and then they turned on you and caused you pain like you'd experienced before?
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought about that. So what an amazing work the Lord has done, and and how He is restoring.
Yes.
And He's a restorer, and your missionary heart to bring that restoration. When we were talking about how the children, the six-year-olds, are being abused for $1.80 being sold and for sex, it churns my stomach and burns me with a righteous anger to want to go in there and lay down the hammer and put an end to it. And as you said, Lord, teach me how to love those people that are responsible, or, you know, stealing these children and putting them into trafficking of sex trade, because it churns me so bad that I have to do something. I can't not let this injustice go on anymore. And to have the heart of the Father to say, hey, I love them. I died for them just as much as I did for you, Tori. So I need that kind of transformation in my own heart, because I know He loves him, but I'd rather lay down the hammer and fix it. I'm a fixer.
Yes, I know what you mean. And you know, God is so creative, right? I mean, His wisdom is unlimited. I believe as sons and daughters, we have to ask God, Lord, how do we get involved? See, I want to share with you at the end here a bit about being a part of Youth with a Mission. That's the missions movement that I'm a part of. I'm leading here in Chico, but it's affecting locally and regionally and internationally. But the reality is that every single son and daughter is part of the Great Commission, right? Mm-hmm. We've all been commissioned. This is not some special calling for the few, or I can't sit in a pew for 20 years waiting for my call to missions when he already said go, right? In Matthew 20. In other words, it's like God could answer us back and say, but Carlos, I've already given you your marching orders, right? Like I already said in Matthew 10, as you go, as you engineer, as you work as a counselor, as you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, cleanse the lepers, get dirty, take the time to you know, for freely you have received, so freely give. Like, I think we have to say, God, you've equipped me for something, you've put me in a place. I have to intentionally get involved in seeing this redemption and this healing that you are wanting to bring to the nations. Amen?
Yes, I'm. This morning I'm praying, and I just felt that, like, man, we as a church body, and I'm talking to all churches, all Christians, as a body of Christ, if we're not doing something, if we've just been saved, and we're basically an artifact sitting upon a shelf collecting dust. We're, you know, you're still valuable in the kingdom of God.
True.
But you're just collecting dust when we need to be out there being involved. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed.
That's right.
And so he didn't just say, hey, here I am, come worship me.
That's
he was the one out in there. The one that was the greatest of all was servant to all.
He was the passion of God's heart. He was, I believe, you know, there's a little story that I want to just bring in that helped me to see this. God brought it back to me many times. My journey in that farm with this beautiful mom and dad, you know. I remember my dad, his name is Duane, many times, like even right after we got adopted, just very quickly, like the invitation of come away, come with me, let's go work, let's do things together, right? Now, there was a bit of a fear in my heart and my brothers. I remember being warned by the orphanage director that some adoptions, people end up in slavery situations, you know, and there's paperwork and there's, but there's a lot of manipulation. And in today, some nations have closed because of so many trafficked kids through adoption. So they had us prepare and we wrote this letter, you know, and the letter basically just said, we're in a slavery situation. Please come and rescue us. So I remember writing this letter with my brother and the director of the orphanage. And they said, keep that. It's ready to go. In case you get into that situation, send it. And we will try to do what we can to rescue you. So just imagine us going in and wondering, this could be that situation, right? Now, we were excited. We were so excited about America that we just kind of forgot about that part. We're going to America. You know, back in the day, Disney World. Michael Jackson was very popular. This was in 86, you know.
Great year.
That's right. That's right. So we're like, America, Disney World. I've never been to those places. But I remember getting to that farm, meeting my mom, my grandma, my new brothers and sisters, and just the journey beginning. But very quickly, we were involved in the farm. They're farmers. I love the heart of farmers in America. They do the work. You know, there's no one hired. It's the farmer does the work. They take ownership of their land. They work the ground, and their sons and daughters are milking the cows, and the family carries the business. And it was such a beautiful picture. So here is this father going out, and he takes his boys and his kids with, right? And I remember one day we're picking rocks very, very close to the after we had been adopted, and me and my brother, because we spoke Spanish, we're like, I wonder if this is a slavery situation, you know? But we're evaluating the beauty that, you know what? We got our own bed. They're feeding us amazingly, because see, people from Minnesota eat great, you know? Meat and potatoes, right? You know, farmers who have to eat great, because they have to work hard, you know? But we realized, no, you know what? This place, they really love us, you know? And we began to feel the safety. But very quickly, we began to feel the desire in this man that he wanted us to take ownership of what we were doing. See, we weren't servants. He longed, I remember through the years, the longing in my dad's heart, even though he wasn't just saying it, but he was looking for who will take ownership, who will take the farm when I leave, who will be the one that will step in, and not just see it as a job, but they'll really care for these cows or these pigs or this farm or this equipment, you know. And through the years, I could sense my father's pleasure as I stepped in different ways to say, Dad, you know, can I do that? Or him releasing me. I mean, here I am, 14 years old, driving these big tractors. You know, I could, you know, I'm cultivating fields and destroying corn because I'm falling asleep. But there was a risk, right? But here's my dad. He could have just done it all. But I want my sons, my daughters to take ownership, to step in. And later on, years later, I could sense my heavenly father's heart with that same desire. Who will take ownership? Who will be like Jesus at 12 years old? Who will not just have a servant's mind, like, Dad, tell me what to do. What do you want me to do in the farm? You know, tell me what to do today. But see, he's not looking for that. Mm-hmm. That's only one level. You have to move into a place where you are taking ownership of the Father's business. Now, he will not get old and grow up and be in a wheelchair, so we just like, Dad, get out of the way. He is with us, amen?
I mean, amen.
Jesus, the Holy Spirit, their fire, their passion, their wisdom, their all of them, their fullness is in us. And they're saying, do it with us. Mm. You know, he talks about that. With us, abide in us. John 15, stay with us. The fruit you will produce will be powerful, you know. Yeah. But if you try to go on your own or just do your thing or you involve me only on Sunday morning or a few times here or there, it's like the fruit will not be the same. It's if we
true.
Stay with you and with fire and with passion, we see what he loves redeemed and restored, you know. And so those farming days bring back memories of, I had a choice to make, right? Mm-hmm. I could have been just a compliant son and just did what he was told me, right? Carlos, your chores are this. But see, when you step in and say, you know, no, I want to do this, or can I do this? Can I step into Southeast Asia and get involved in that brothel? I have a friend that they went into this brothel. Not only did they rescue a girl, but they bought the whole brothel and bought all the girls and made the brothel a redeeming and restoration home.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
And I hear that in your heart. And I feel like the Lord is looking for men and women's hearts that will say, God, how far can we go in seeing Whew. Redemption?
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, these, my friend is a huge bodybuilder, muscles that... And he told me, he said, Carlos, the hardest thing was when we bought the brothel, we bought the girls. And God said, who will reach the boys? Those 14, 15-year-old boys that were running the brothel. And it was so hard for him. He said, Carlos, that was so hard for me. I wanted to squish and, you know.
Yeah.
But yet God's heart was saying, God desires everything to be redeemed.
Yeah.
Now, this, I have a personal story in that a couple of years ago, my biological father, the one that murdered my mom when I was young, went to prison. He found me and called me. I get this call here. It's about 5:30 in the morning. I'm laying in my bed. It's dark. And then this man on the other line says, hey, Carlitos, este es tu padre. This is your father, you know. And I was like, so he asked me, I found you. Is it possible for us to begin a relationship? Now, my heart, it was only a 5-second, 10-second conversation. I said, yeah, let's do it. We hung up, and I went and sat on my couch in my house. Started evaluating, because, yeah, I had forgiven him, the brokenness, the destruction. But I started thinking through that decision and realizing the brokenness of this man's choice. That not only was my mom murdered, but she never had the opportunity to let Jesus into her heart. So I probably will never see her again in eternity. Not only did he make a decision out of selfishness, but it affected everything and everyone in that family.
That's right.
Sent us on a detour that brought deep brokenness. Mm. And because of one man's choice. Mm. And now this man is calling me and asking me if we can have a relationship. I'm laying on that couch and I just began to weep. And I said, God, it is so hard for me to imagine that this man will be forgiven, that you would receive him into your life and he could step into eternity with you forever. And yet this woman that I loved, well, I was young, I was 2. I don't have a lot of memories or my mother. But this woman that was a victim of great selfishness. And I began to understand the depth of the mercy of God. That there are real casualties in this war. There are people being killed and used and abused. There's real brokenness happening. And that brokenness is affecting God's heart like it's affecting ours, but His more. And when God speaks in verses like Genesis 6 where He says, and God's heart was grieved, it is a real thing that the emotions of brokenness are touching God's heart, you guys. All through Scripture, I see. I even see the reality, and many would judge God for this. I see God expressing great disappointment and anger towards situations. Now, let me tell you something. If we didn't see God getting angry and disappointed about some things on this planet, we would be in huge trouble. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that?
Right.
Because that statement would say that He is okay with what's happening.
And He's not.
But the fact that He is extremely transparent with His emotions throughout Scripture, saying, I am not okay with this. This is not okay with us. Mm-hmm. You see that? And you see in Scripture over and over, God expressing very open and transparently, who will go for us? Who will stand with us? Who will see that the nations would be touched and transformed by my love?
Yeah.
You guys, we have an amazing opportunity.
We do.
To step in. He has done everything for us to step in as sons and be a part of this redemption story that could happen with one boy, two boys, a little girl, a father, a son. It could happen with a village. It could happen with a whole nation. I believe God would want us to believe for greater than what we can do. For faith that will require God to get involved in the impossible. Amen?
I
believe God is saying, will you believe to see great things happen in your day where people will respond to my love? You know?
Yeah, we just talked about how that God's heart was grieved, you said, in Genesis 6. And then who will stand with us in this fight against injustice? And what pricked my heart was right there. It says in the Word that God says to ask for the nations, and I will give them to you as an inheritance.
You know, that's our Papa's pleasure, you know, that all his sons and all his daughters would come home. You know, you think of the prodigal son's story. It's really not a story about a prodigal son. It's really a story about a father that's longing for something. See, you don't see any controlling going on there. You don't see any allowing or not allowing. You see a father that's looking, and he's like, my son has gone far away, you know. They had an argument where his son basically told him, I wish you were dead so I can get my inheritance, you know.
Right.
and he got his money, and he's got. But yet the father, see, this is the beauty, and I want to say this because this is the missionary heart. See, the father, it didn't matter how deep, how broken, God longed for us back.
Amen.
He's looking at nations like any nation and saying, I long for you to come home to who you were created. You were knitted. You were purposed to be my son, my daughter. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, so here's a father looking, longing. See, you see something about his character. He is hoping for something. You see that? He's hoping that the son will turn and come. And as soon as the son turns, as soon as the heart turns, maybe you're listening right now and you are one of those. I know I have been. And when the heart turns and the heart responds, now the heart of that son felt so, I think we find that in Luke chapter 13 maybe, I might be wrong, but the prodigal son story, right? And I want you to, even if you can read it or maybe not, I'll tell you the story. When the heart turned and that son realized, oh my gosh, I have made a mess, you know, and I've spent all the money, I've used it on women, he was eating pig food, you know.
Oh.
It was like, and he said, maybe if I go back, my father will let me back to the house, but I will not be worthy to be called a son, or, you know. I can only, maybe I can just be like a servant. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Think about identity, right? And the father was not thinking a servant. The father was thinking, I don't care what has happened. I long for you. You know, nothing is unforgivable. I want to restore you and redeem you. And if you will come back, I will. And you see, in the story unfolds, when he comes home, the father's like, get the best, get the shoes and the ring. And this is a story of identity. You are royalty. You were never meant to be out there. You as a nation were never meant to go to that depth of brokenness. You know, you as an individual. And God says, you are royalty. Put on the shoes. See, servants don't wear shoes. This was a sign of you are a son. Mm-hmm. You're in the family. Come sit at the table. We're going to have a party because heaven is rejoicing that a son, you know, a daughter, a son's coming home. And I just want to tell you, if and I speak into you that are listening, if you are in that place, and I know that the Father is doing all that he can to woo you back. He's touching your heart. The Holy Spirit has been doing it since he came. He's longing for the sons and daughters to come back. If he's touching your heart right now, I just want to tell you, all it takes is your heart, put your affections on God right now, and just watch how he'll bring you back. Just respond to him, respond to his love. See, when the good news went out in the New Testament, it wasn't just a news about repentance or about getting rid of all the stuff you did. It wasn't just an external thing. It was a decision of the heart that would say, Caesar used to be my Lord, I used to be my Lord, but now Jesus wants to be the King and Lord of my life. And see, when humans made that statement and they said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and King of my life. When Jesus takes his place in your heart and becomes the King, then everything else will start to shift. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will come and he will take care of that. He will lead you to that process, right? That's he true. Will continue, and he will take you by the hand. But what he wants your heart. And when he gets that, everything will start to shift. Because see, when he becomes Lord, your heart will come alive. And you will want to take on the business of the family. You will not just take this for yourself. You will not just say, thank you, Jesus, that now I have a ticket to heaven. You will not just say, now I've been forgiven and whew, praise God, I can do whatever I want. You will say, wow, I have been welcomed home and I am not a servant. He has put on a robe of royalty. Mm-hmm. He has given me a ring. Now may I grow up and act like a son in the courts of the King. You see that?
Carlos, what would you say to our listeners that have been abused and they're hurting and they may have been the one that was abused, or they may have been the abuser, and they feel dirty, or they feel that God could never forgive them, that he would not be able to restore them, and they feel, you know, hey, it would be good just to even make it into heaven, but I don't feel like what I've done, the shame I've committed, or the shame that was brought on an individual that was abused. How could God love me? Will he ever be able to want me?
You know, I think the place that you have to go, and this is a decision of your heart, because no one can make it for you. No one can force you. Even the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible that we can quench him. In other words, even though he wants you to go there, we can say, no, I will not go. See, the heart of God is longing for us, for you. Whether you have received that or you have caused it, he's longing for you to come to that place of complete transparency and honesty with him, where you share how you feel, you share the brokenness, and you allow God to respond. Just give God the opportunity to respond to you. Don't make the decision yourself that you cannot be forgiven. Don't make the decision yourself that how could he have done this to me? Why did he allow? Just come to him with your transparency and honesty. Many men and women in the Bible came to God. They were angry or they were just raw honest. And God loved that. It brought a depth of relationship. that he highlighted through the scriptures.
Paul killed Christians, and he wrote the most of the New Testament, and he thought he was doing right, but he was killing Christians.
Yes.
And God went to him and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me?
Right.
So he had committed murders.
He went to that extreme, exactly.
And God used him greatly.
Amen.
Turned his life around. He could have felt there's no way God at this point would ever be able to use me.
Right. Yep.
But he used him for the greatness he was created for.
What a beautiful picture, huh? God took and made an example of him, of what it could look like for someone that responds to God and is healed. And let me tell you, I believe God would want to speak to your heart regarding that brokenness that was caused. He would want to minister to you. And I also want to encourage you, don't do this alone. Don't walk alone. Find the church. Call here, the radio station. There are men and women here that would love to walk with you, pray with you, and just process that with you. Why? Because, you know what? We were never called to do this alone. When the enemy isolated Eve, he could get to her heart. See, isolation is a tactic of the enemy. Don't let the enemy have his way.
Carlos, this has been probably one of the most amazing Christ today, wouldn't you say, Curtis?
Summed up in two words, grace and unconditional love.
Mm.
Grace and unconditional love.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a minute and say something.
Mm.
You know, I've had a couple other people from YWAM come on here, but Carlos, you have really shared the love of the Father today. You've really went deep into who God is as a person and how he loves us so much, and that we don't have to walk in shame or guilt.
That's right.
Just have that relationship with the Lord and then go about doing what he's called us to do. I've been considering, and I was just a little bit too early for me to be discussing this, but I will discuss it. I've been discussing going on the next mission trip, the next available mission trip to Crossroads next year. And listeners, if you want to get behind something that God wants to do, you can feel free to call and get more information. But my heart for so long, I grew up believing in Christ. I had relationship with God. I went to church. I knew the Lord. But I didn't ever really know what it was that he really wanted me to do. And there was a lot of law, a lot of legalism, a lot of religion. And there's a lot of people that have been brought up in that. But God goes beyond that. That's laws and rules and regulations and all that. That's the eyes of man. That's man's way of going about things. God's way is love, unconditional love, grace and mercy. And you have spoken today on love, grace. You've spoken on mercy. Without going into the words and giving definitions, you have shared some things from the Father's heart of God. Why don't you speak into that microphone the last couple of minutes and just continue bringing that home and maybe, you know, that's what I'd say.
Should we pray?
Let's do that,
yeah. Huh? Papa, we thank you that we're only representing your heart.
Yes.
And you're teaching us to carry that to the nations. And so we want to say, may every listener just understand, not just hear, but understand your passionate love for them. And that they would respond to you, wherever level, wherever journey they're on, that they would respond to you and step into the fullness of who you've called them to be, God. That this missionary calling is your passion. And that they too have a place in this business of the Father. And so, Jesus, we bless each hearer right now that Holy Spirit are in the room with them, in the car, wherever, that they would just step into a greater depth of ownership of what you've called us to, God. And Father, we pray that their journey would continue to unpack as they begin to realize that they can be a part of representing your love on this planet. We bless them in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Christ Today. If you would like to write us or feel led to support this ministry, feel free to write us at KKXX, Attention Christ Today, at 1363 Longfellow Avenue in Chico, California, 95926. You can also reach us here at the studio at 855- 530-1045 or here locally, 530-894-7325. If you need prayer, I will give you my personal cell phone. Please call me. I'd be honored to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life, or if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, feel free to call me here locally. My name is Tori, 530-864-1111. And if the Lord tarries, Curtis, which we believe he probably will, we'll be back next week again
next
on
week.
Christ Today.